because we're going to lose our tactic card. That dude almost whooped all of us on there. And Cooper Webb came there like, And so I believe 100% that second moto with Justin Cooper is if he wins his championship from here on out, I think you can almost put out the start thing. Like, I think that's gone. I think that second moto, what he's able to do, will tell him himself that, dude, I can do this. Because this weekend was the first weekend that Jet Lawrence showed up at the first gate that he knew he was going to win. And he's so patient in a lot of the stuff. He rides in the tall gear. He's so patient. He's standing up a lot. Makes it look like he is not trying. What's up, guys? It's your boy, JS7. And you know where we at? We're at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 20 from Thunder Valley, round 3 of the Motocross Series. Thunder Valley, what we're going to see this weekend. Boys got a different challenge. They had elevation, high altitude, 5,000 feet, people. And if you watch the race, you know it's 5,000 feet above sea level. So the power is going to be down, the endurance, the wind, the breath. Guys going to be feeling like that this weekend, but just as always, they show up, they show out. So you know what we got to do. Let's get into it. The first two races this year have been somewhat, you had a lot of riders talking about a one-line racetrack. You know, there's parts where it opens up, but really they kind of funnel back in. So, you know, AP last weekend, Aaron Plessinger, he was talking about how the track was hard to pass. And then the same thing in Paula. And then so coming into this weekend, it was like the opposite in a sense. Like they had a lot of ruts. Thunder Valley is using notorious for having these long, deep ruts or having guys, you know, no lead is safe, a.k.a. myself, Eli Tomac, you know, Chase Sexton.
Stewart! It is Stewart who has gone down while leading this race!
So just being at elevation with the track being a little bit more overcast, it didn't dry out like the first two races. It had traction, it was hard, and it was rough and rutted. So it brought in a whole different challenge for these guys this weekend compared to last weekend. And overall, you still had the same guys up there doing good, but I feel like you have more opportunity. We talked about the privateers. We had more opportunity for passing. So nobody really said anything about passing this week. So overall, I thought the racetrack was good, looked raceable. But I was glad I was sitting there calling it on TV because JAS didn't like the way that track was. My stiff suspension wouldn't have been that good. Track was fine. So the 250 class, I feel like coming into this and all of them, even though Hunter Lawrence has been winning, it's still pretty open, meaning Justin Cooper feels like he has a chance. Danger Boy feels like he has a chance. Joe Shimoto, even though his finishes have been worse than what he's actually riding. Joe's been riding pretty well all year. He's just been getting caught up in there. I feel like everybody showed up here at Thunder Valley with an opportunity to feel like they could win. Levi Kitchen, he won this race last year. And so coming into the third race, you knew Hunter Lawrence was going to do what he does. He's been the ultimate consistent one. Him and Deegan and Justin Cooper have been pretty much top five all year long. Hunter overall just being the best and being the most consistent. So Justin Cooper, I would say he was probably the biggest challenge. He was the one that needed to step up this weekend, even more than like Joe Shimoda. Joe Shimoda had more things. Like you could just say he was caught up with riders and just being in the wrong place the wrong time, even though he put himself there. Justin Cooper was the one that had the speed. When he gets a good start, he should be able to finish it. So I think for him, there was a lot of pressure coming into this weekend. You got two races under your belt. So that's starting to kind of go away that you haven't been riding and racing. So coming in this weekend, I was looking forward to seeing what he was going to do. Looking at that racetrack, I felt like if you have Justin Cooper and Danger Boy, you put them in the same spot they were at Hangtown, Sacramento last weekend, Justin Cooper would have won. And the reason I felt that way is because this track was really technical. You had to be super patient on that. And when we look at Danger Boy, which I'll get more in detail in a minute, it's just, I wouldn't say his riding style doesn't fit this track because the kid is talented. I just think Justin Cooper fits this track better. And when somebody fits this track better or they feel more comfortable, when all these guys are so close in speed, it just makes one guy a little bit better than the other. So I think if you put those guys in the same spot, I felt like Justin Cooper won. Well, first moto gate drops.
He gets pitched off and a bunch of riders collide. Huge wreck going into turn one.
Bang, 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 bang. It was like a domino effect. And there was still, we probably left 3-4 more out because there was those guys, they hit. And I had a lot of people talking about the great starts being possibly the reason why these first corners, these polyps, they're getting to the first corner quicker or whatnot, the speed's up. Well, I can't be 100% certain because I haven't rode on it, but I'm pretty certain, 99.99% certain that it ain't that. Because just like the 450 class last weekend, that whole start at Sacramento, it's a sketchy start. I'm actually surprised more people don't fall on that. It's short, it's high speed, and you got guys coming from the outside, inside. The inside comes this way, the outside's going that way. You got to meet. And where Jeremy Martin fell at, you've already hit the brakes twice, so it has nothing to do with the great start. So this weekend coming in, it wasn't the gates that caused that. What causes, if you look at that, one, these guys are starting in first gear, and you got to get all the way on the back. You got to, this particular track, you've got to get the power, especially on the 250, you got to get the power to the back to drag up that hill, have a drag racing up that hill. So the guys are farther back. So if you're farther back, it's harder to get to your levers to stop if anything happens. But if you look at it from the beginning, the inside, those guys actually got to start going back left. And then outside, they got to go harder right, go into a right corner. So if you guys going left, going into a right-handed corner, what happens? They meet. And then so when you look at the that first moto, one guy hit, I think it was Jaimes and someone, they hit. Then it was a domino effect. These guys going right, these guys on the inside, they hit, they start going left, and it was like a domino effect on there. And so that had nothing to do with the start, that the speeds on that. That just has the fact that that's Thunder Valley, and that's just, it just happens. Some things just happen. It will happen at wherever track there is. But particularly this track, there's a reason for it. You got guys on the inside. They have to just, even if nothing happens, they have to go left because of that angle on the start. So just always brings in opportunity with guys on the back trying to get power down, and they're not in the normal situation where they can kind of break. This was that situation. And, you know, Guillen Ferrer is like, he got the worst end of the deal. And it wasn't because he actually tangled up. It's because his arm got caught in, I think it was Joe Shimoda's tire. So overall, you had RJ feet flying up there. He looked like them little toys, them motorcycle toys out there. But RJ did what RJ does. He get up and he goes fast and falls again and goes fast and falls again. The next thing you know, the last lap, you're like, damn, that's RJ. Well, that's exactly what happened. But the start wasn't that. Justin Cooper, the Yamahas, you know they were going to be strong. And I feel like the team manager, he was kind of like smiling because they knew they were going to be pretty good. And at one point, it was like, you know, 5 out of 6 riders or 4 out of 5 were all Yamahas. They were the fastest 250F out there. And it was like roles reversed. Justin Cooper gets around Danger Boy. Danger Boy falls over the first lap. Danger Boy starts coming back up. He's closing in on Justin. Then he makes a mistake and he loses a lot more time. And Justin rode the same speed all day. And, you know, especially that first moto, even Jason was like, Justin, he picked up the pace. Like he answered. Well, of course, like you got a guy coming, like you'll try to pick it up. But I feel like with Justin Cooper, the way he rode, he didn't pick up the pace until that second moto. That dude was rolling that second moto. Like he just kept riding the way he was because he knew that just like last weekend, Danger Boy was making those mistakes, was allowing him to come, even though he wasn't doing anything. He just kept riding the same lap. Danger Boy would dictate that race. Well, same thing this weekend. Danger Boy would close up, then make a mistake and lose like a second and two seconds in like one section. So I feel like Justin Cooper was really comfortable. He knew if he had to, he could probably pick up the pace a little bit, but it was more about what his circumstance around him, what was going on, rather than like him just deciding, I'm going to go faster. He wasn't trying to break anybody. He wasn't getting broken, but he wasn't trying to break anything. So Justin Cooper rode awesome. You had to think he was because he's comfortable at this racetrack. Hunter Lawrence rode really well. Everything was going good for him. Obviously, he won that second moto, but he rode good the first moto, made some great passes just like last weekend. I think him getting bad starts allowed him to see some of these lines on this racetrack. And this particular track, you have multiple lines, but once you get in that line, you have to stay in it. That's why you saw a lot of guys in corners that it looked like they'll go in the inside. And even if, like a 180, even if the guy on the inside would actually pass the guy on the outside, the pass wasn't done until they actually got out of the rut going down the straightaway because they couldn't actually cut out of it. And so at that point, when you're looking at Hunter Lawrence, that first moto, he comes up on Hayden Deegan, and then the game start. Now, all this is dictated because Hayden just won last weekend. Hayden's feeling like a championship, even at the end of that Supercross. Hayden feels like he belongs. He's aggressive, not dirty. I didn't think he was dirty. And even this weekend, you got to think what's going on with Hayden, how he finished that Supercross season. He just feels really aggressive, feeling like he belonged. And, you know, the kids, he is aggressive. I mean, I would say he's not dirty. He's not like, you know, just knocking people down, but he don't play around. And so you coming into this, like, I know he feels like he's a title threat. And even last weekend on the show, I mentioned that I was more impressed what he did that second moto, you know, with being flustered and still fighting. That's kind of what you see like Hunter Lawrence do, you know, like, hey, things aren't going good. I know I have the speed to win because I just won this first moto. Things aren't going good. I'm just going to make my way up, not lose this. And Hayden, even somewhat to this weekend, he did the same deal. But last weekend, I was really impressed with that. So when he starts battling with Hunter Lawrence, and he was battling with all those guys, when you come up on him, you got to know he's going to fight. And ultimately, throughout Hayden's career, as that perception, as we were talking about, like Joe Shimoda and what people, other guys think, this is the part where I say just being more aggressive is going to benefit him, because you saw now Hunter has to drop back and calculate his pass, like figure out, okay, how I'm going to figure out how to pass this guy. Well, when you do that, then the guy might make a mistake, or you might catch a rhythm where some other times the guy just stick on the outside of you and just stay there because he knows you ain't going to do anything. And so when Hunter caught him, the games begin. Then Hayden started looking back and he was like trying to block him. He was crossing across the track. And there was one section after the start straight and going and you drop back down that he was actually cross jumping. Well, I can actually somewhat see, I can defend Hayden or go either way. I think where he did it at was actually somewhat safe. Like what his intentions, if he was intentionally trying to cross jump, and I think what leads you to believe that maybe that's what he was doing is because what happened before that with him like stopping, looking back, you know, doing these things, trying to block Hunter when Hunter was faster, crossing back across the track. When you get to a section where there's jumps involved, he like jumps across, starts on the right, goes to the left, looking back, and then lands, looks over, goes back over to the right. He's cross jumping him. But if you're road Thunder Valley and there's certain sections that you can cross in front of a rider, that doesn't make it dangerous. And I believe the reason I say I can somewhat defend Hayden on this one is to say that section, Hunter would have plenty of time to back off the gas. And he would know that Hayden's going to do that compared to if you jump off a triple or some of these other ones like Supercross, or there's particular jumps that you cross jump somebody, it's over. Like, and it's not only just dangerous for them, it's really dangerous for you. Usually both guys go down. So before I like, you know, harp on Hayden and be like, dude, like, don't do that. That's dirty. No one likes to be cross jumped. Like, I've been guilty myself of like doing that. Like, it doesn't end well. A lot of times it happened to me, like I didn't mean to, but I ain't gonna never say like I've never done that on purpose. And that was more when I was younger. Stupid, right? Stupid. And I think Hayden felt like that himself. But what leads you to believe, again, why he did that was because of what happened before. It's like if you wake up and you're in a bad mood, you read your first text, they can say hello. You can look at it in a bad mood. Like, you can read it your own different way. And so if Hayden wouldn't have done any of that, then I don't necessarily think that we would have saw those jumps and really saw that him really cross jumping. We'd have just said, look at the kid, like looking back. Oh, he's going that way. Then he goes back across the track. The fact is that he was actually cutting Hunter off. He was looking at him, stopping before that, which makes you think that those was intentionally. And then Hunter got up on top of the track. Deegan does it again, going down the hill. Then Hayden realizes that, like, I'm going to get my ass knocked down. Hunter goes in there. And I don't think Hunter was going in and, like, T-bone him, but Hunter was going in to make a pass. Hayden did a good job at stopping. It looked bad. And the reason it looked bad is because of what happens usually when a guy is faster, and then soon as you start stopping in corners and looking back, then anything else you do after that seems intentional. And I know from riding at Thunder Valley, there would have been other, if Hayden would have cross jumped him on the big tabletop, then I would have been like, that's stupid. That's dirty. But where Hayden did it at, I can almost say like it wasn't dangerous because of the jumps. And I know Hunter has enough time and Hunter saw it. It was just the fact that he did it after all the other stuff. And then Hunter gets up on the podium. And I think he even knew like, look, Hayden didn't cross jump me in a spot where it was dirty. But at the same time, like, dude, like whatever. I don't have no time. I don't got time for that. I believe if Hayden would have done it on a jump, that was dirty.
I've seen how he races in Supercross, so I'm kind of aware of what kind of rider he is and just did my best to navigate it. And, you know, I'm racing for a championship and just always racing ahead in my moto. So, yeah, on to the next one.
Hunter would have said more than what he said. He just knew, like, look, the kid's going to do what he does. And you know what? I ain't really got time with it because he don't want to deal with it. He don't want that smoke. He don't want that smoke. He trying to get it. And he knows Hayden is going to get good starts. Hayden's only going to get better. And I said last weekend, if I'm Hunter, that's the guy that like you don't want to, like, that's going to be my biggest competition if he continues growing. Why? Because of that stuff. Because he's going to race you because of what Hunter thinks of him. So Hayden, he'll learn from it. I think what happened on the racetrack, how he rode, the kid made a lot of mistakes, as a lot of those guys. And as I was saying, how it would favor Justin Cooper, the way he's riding style. With Hayden, he charges a lot. Like, and just being young, when you lose time, what's the first thing you think? Well, I'm going to have to go faster. And he would make another mistake. And then the problem was for him is that he could catch those guys so easy because he's good and he was going fast that he didn't realize that, okay, I'm catching them easy. Where am I catching them at? And then at the other parts, I need to slow down. He just saw he was catching them easy and he just kept going, made a mistake, and then just made another mistake. And you can tell he's just getting frustrated because I think when Hunter caught him, he was frustrated. But still, the kid was able to finish out the race. And even I think he went 4-9 or something, which I said anything out of top five is a bad moto. Well, it was a bad moto for him, but he didn't blow it. And so at the end of the day, he lost a lot of points. At the end of the day, I think he learned a lot. And just like Sacramento, Hangtown, this weekend, I think if I'm Hayden Deegan, I'll go back and watch the film and realize that I probably could have won this. Like, I probably could have won that. I was fast, quite a bit fast. I was 4/10 faster in that first moto, and I got fourth, and Justin Cooper rode off. But it was all what I was doing. Those guys didn't just outride me. I don't really know what happened in the second moto, but I got a lot of see him a lot in the first moto. So overall, Hayden's fine. And again, Hunter Lawrence does what Hunter Lawrence does. Now, Justin Cooper, first moto, we've been talking about it. His speed, practice, he goes faster. It's to the point where you're like, whatever. Like, and I think Justin Cooper feels like, whatever. It helps him. Anytime you're fast, you can never like neglect that. It helps him. But his thing was, it was in a race. No, not the first moto. I don't care about that. Why? Because Justin Cooper is fast. You put him in a spot, he holds shots, he's feeling comfortable, he can run away from him. What he just did in that first moto, he ran away from him. The second moto is where we wanted to find out with Justin Cooper. No, he did not get a bad start. Actually got the whole shot, but then he fell. He was riding around in 13th. Now, this was before we knew he was messing around with his levers, checking his, fixing his mirror, making sure everything was got, hitting the parking brake, you know, turn signals, waiting for the light. Before we knew all that, we were looking like, well, he got up in 11th and then he got passed. And then he was in 13th, and then he was like in 13th, and then he was like in 13th. And so the biggest thing with Justin Cooper is been so dictated on starts. His circumstances has to be right, and then he flourishes. Like, again, first moto, he's out there. He's been able to ride in this gap. Was he going faster than Hayden? Nope. Was he? I think he was maybe the second, third fastest, but it wasn't like he transitioned from just being a second faster. Everything settled down. Hayden was making a mistake. He closed up. Hayden made a mistake. Justin Cooper got fine. He got that 10-second lead. Hunter started putting in hot laps. He went faster. And Hunter realized, make a business decision. I'll save it for the second moto instead of hitting the ground. But the circumstances were right. Second moto, he gets out there. He's out front. Hunter Lawrence putting a little pressure on him. He goes in there, watch the front. There's that. And he goes down. And then he's like riding around. So everything has been dictated on he needs to get a whole shot. Clean air, and then he might win, he might not, but he'll be there. Well, that second moto happened, and those three laps, we're just like, dude, this is what we're talking about. And Justin Cooper, we found Hello, Mr. Cooper. That dude flipped a switch and that dude was rolling. That dude was rolling. I mean, at one point he was 3-4 seconds faster than anybody on the racetrack. And he did it in a different type of way. Like, it was actually in a way I haven't seen Justin Cooper like ride. He was hanging out for like feet flying, like making mistakes for Justin Cooper, which tells me like he was riding hard, but he looked comfortable being uncomfortable. And you could just see lap by lap, his confidence was growing. Like when he caught cats, he just blew past them. And the first few races we were watching, like he would catch them and just kind of stay there, or he wasn't aggressive. He was going around them. The only person that woke up was Joe Shimoda, Far East Coast. That's because he's fast too. You know, so I wasn't like shocked that Joe was able to go and after all the energy Justin had to ride. But dude, he was rolling, comfortable. And the way he did it was like cool looking. It's kind of like what we talk about Jet Lawrence. Like he wasn't just pinning it. And almost I would say that since Jerry Martin's now, I'll go to Hayden Deegan effect. He wasn't just Hayden Deegan that thing, just like letting it hang out. Like I'm just going to go faster in this spot down this hill than you. Justin Cooper went faster all around the racetrack. Like he pretty much went like maybe 2 miles an hour faster just kind of throughout the whole track, which made him like 3-4 seconds faster overall. Like you never saw like a burst of a stop and go to speed. He just kept like rolling. And as he got more comfortable, he started putting all those lines together. And with this track, once you catch a rhythm like that, you'll end up like Justin Cooper was. So it was a, for all those young riders out there, when we talk about momentum and keeping momentum up, just watch that second moto with that kid. That's how you find speed. And that's how you find speed without taking like a lot of risk. You know, that's what we see with Jet Lawrence. You know, it's not like, you know, now I won't even talk about him that much, but it's not like he's not trying or he's got to be out of control. There's different ways of doing it. And Justin Cooper was A+ at doing that. And so I believe 100% that second moto with Justin Cooper is if he wins his championship from here on out, I think you can almost put out the start thing. Like, I think that's gone. I think that second moto, what he's able to do will tell him himself that, dude, I can do this, because I haven't seen him run up through a pack like that. I don't know when last time I did it, and he hasn't done it this year, and everybody's starting to talk about it. So, you know, it's in his head. It's even a team is saying that they were so worried about the gates not being there that first race that they knew they had to fly the gates in for the second race to have a chance. Well, I think that's somewhat gone. And it was because of that second moto with Justin Cooper. So if he ends up starting to run with Hunter, which he obviously has the speed to do that, and ends up winning his championship, you can dictate it because he did fall that first lap. Whatever happened, he was checking the levers and all that stuff, those three laps. But it was the next, you know, 15, 20 minutes of that race would be the reason why Justin Cooper, if he does it, will be your 2023 motocross champion. He's still got to go through that cat. That red hot Hunter Lawrence, and you got to go through Danger Boy because he's still going to be the same thing. But Justin Cooper is now a real title threat because of what he just did that second moto. And you could tell, look at him. I don't think I've ever seen the dude smile after all those hot laps and motos. I was like, damn, he actually got teeth because I ain't never seen him smile. But Justin Cooper killed it. That was beautiful. Kids, pay attention to that. You want to be able to go fast. There's different type of ways to do it. And on tracks like that, that's that roll speed. Get that roll, to get that ball rolling. You know, do that 50 miles an hour around the whole track instead of getting to that 65 and then to a 30. Nah, just go 50 the whole time. You get in a rhythm and then you'll be way faster. So look, as fast as Justin Cooper was, he still wasn't fast enough. And why wasn't he fast enough? Because I ain't really talking about this dude that much. Besides when I was talking about other people, then I would bring him up because there really wasn't nothing to talk about. Why? Because the dude's just doing what he does. And I said last week, all he does is win. And then looking at his riding style, you could tell like he's starting to look like a 450 guy to me. I don't know why. Like he just looked like he's getting bigger. I don't know if he's just swelling up because of all the confidence and whatnot. But look, Hunter Lawrence ain't no joke. Hunter Lawrence ain't no joke. The transition that I seen from the first race, just his body language and his riding to like now, is like what I just said with Justin Cooper in that second moto. It is different. It is different. He just knows that, look, I'm going to win. He don't even care about practice. Like maybe he'll go fast in practice if he needs to get lap time, but he don't need that because he know he's going to win. And what is he winning? Because he won all three of them just like his brother. Even though he hasn't won the first moto all year, he's won all these overalls. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
neck burn, neck burn. I mean, it's that's what it is. That's what it is. It ain't nothing but Hunter Lawrence. It's just, hey, what happened? I won. I think with Hunter is all the injuries and stuff the last few years, and now things are starting to roll his way. And he was caught up in that first corner melee, that first one, but he didn't go down. You know, like, you start getting to where you feel like your luck's changed. And I believe all the injuries and just bad things that's happened to him in the past, being able to win that Supercross championship, and even just building up from last year, we're starting to see, like, I believe he's feeling like this is his now. Like, this is his class. Yeah, I got, you know, Danger Boy. I got Justin Cooper. But he rides with no worries, you know. And the fact is, I even think from Supercross, when he went in on Thrasher, I don't feel like he does that. Like, he wouldn't do that. Why? Because he just knows eventually he's going to get him. Like, this is my house. And I think with Supercross, he was still figuring out, like, is this my house? I believe it is my house. Like, I own it. I see the lease. But I don't know. Like, it was. And then I got evicted. Nah, he just know, there ain't no payments on there. Like, I own this thing. That's what I watch when I see him from Paula to this race. I've just watched a kid that just feels like he knows what's going to happen. Whenever it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Things, I could have hit the ground. I could have got caught up. And when things start bouncing your way, even just the fact that luck makes you more confident and feel somewhat just invisible, in a sense of, you know, you're not invisible because you've been hurt enough. So you respect that. But just, it's just that confidence that I see when he rides. He's just more relaxed. He looks good. He looks good. And I really think the opposite of that is Joe Shimoda. Joe Shimoda is just as fast as Hunter. Joe Shimoda has gotten some good starts, but Joe Shimoda went down in that first corner. Like, he did. And then Joe Shimoda gets hit and he gets caught up with a lapper and then falls off a cliff last weekend. Joe Shimoda is leading the race. He gets passed by RJ at the first one. RJ goes down. Joe Shimoda runs into him. Like, he can't get through him. Then Joe Shimoda goes down. So it's the opposite, where I feel like the things are rolling the right way for Hunter. The things in Joe, he could just feel like it's just bad luck because I'm just as fast as this guy. You know, when Justin Cooper was going beast mode, I stopped him. I ran away from him. So it's not speed, but man, I can't catch a break, because even though I stopped that beast, I still hit the ground on the last lap and still lost all those points. So I think with Joe, he's riding good. Look, kid, don't change anything. Far East Coast, you're way better. You way better. That first motor, you rolling too. Like, I was like, damn, Joe, where he is. There was no Joe, and then there was a lot of Joe, and it was like, for sure, there's Joe. And then Cooper said, there's Joe, and then here's Joe. Then there was Joe Nomo. So Far East Coast, it's your riding's above average. There ain't no average Joe, but the circumstances and just bad luck, it's just hitting you. And so I think it's the opposite of what we're watching with Hunter. And I think Joe Shimoda, just keep doing what you're doing. Eventually, the laugher won't be there, right? Eventually, RJ will fall, and you'll just be 2 inches on the outside, and you'll go around him. When that happens, then, like, you'll just start riding like Hunter Lawrence, because Hunter Lawrence riding on that confidence. It ain't because he's just way better than you, like, speed. He just has that confidence where I feel like Justin Cooper just found that second moto. And so, average Joe, you above average. You just got to have things go. But that was it. But y'all letting that dude go. Besides Justin Cooper, you better do something. I don't know. Take bitch out. I don't know. So that was that. Going to next weekend, it could flip. What's going to be consistent. Hunter Lawrence is going to be consistent. Danger Boy is still going to do what he does. Joe, hopefully he flips that. Justin Cooper, who knows? That might be the only thing that might change. Maybe he starts rising and then he gets dominant because he does got the speed, but we'll figure that out next weekend. So, 450 class. The reason I talked about 250 class so much, because you already know what's going to happen in the 450 class. And I'm going to just clear one point up. Clear it up. People don't understand. A little technical. They don't understand. They're like, Jay, how can you say that this cat, this Jet Lawrence guy, ain't like he's riding 100%? why you say that? Like he's taking chances. Well, there's levels to it, people. There's levels. And I feel like, and I said last weekend, the people that beat Jet Lawrence wasn't at that race. Like they weren't at that race. But at the same time, when I used to race, sometimes like I could go, I never went 100%. Like none of these guys go 100%, even though there was hot laps. But there was times that I race that I was uncomfortable going at a pace, even though I wasn't going 100%, even though I wasn't laying it out. And I feel like I can't go no faster. There was levels to it to where I could ride a pace that made me uncomfortable, which made me go like if I hit the ground, and sometimes I did, and I would be on Sunday at home, I wasn't shocked that I hit the ground. Why was I shocked? Because I was uncomfortable doing that. Doesn't mean that I can't go no faster or I'm all out. Like that is the fastest JS can go. And so when we talk about Jet Lawrence, I see a guy that is in control, that he's in control, but I also see a guy that wish he could ride and ride his pace like he did that first moto and have 30 seconds on those guys. So if he did fall, you know, he can really just take his time and make sure nobody else is going to be anything. No chances. Well, those first couple races, he was at the point to where I think he would go where I was just saying, if he went up another lot level, it was uncomfortable. Not saying that he can't like go any faster, not saying that, hey, he ain't trying. It's just uncomfortable. So he backs it down to a level that's uncomfortable enough to where, look, I gotta run this pace to get away from these guys, but I really don't want to go to that next level, because even though I probably could go faster, likelihood of something happening, I probably will crash. But no rider wants to have 3-5 seconds. No rider wants to deal with that. He don't want to have to be looking around. You notice the first motor, he ain't really look around. Like he didn't look around this weekend. Why? Because he knew he was gone. He was riding at a pace. His comfortable pace was a lot faster than those guys. And I feel like this weekend's race, if Jet would have been riding like he did this weekend, then this whole conversation about being to a level where it's uncomfortable, that's keeping those guys close to where you're starting to maybe question it, get some of y'all confused, I would have never even talked about it. Because this weekend was the first weekend that Jet Lawrence showed up at the first gate that he knew he was going to win. Like he knew he was going to win. And if he didn't think he was going to win, that second motor he went in knowing he was going to win. If he wasn't sure then just look at him on the podium. Dude, what? Nice whip, by the way. He was jumping around, flinging around, running through the pits afterwards. Dude walked up with his chest. And that's a problem from everybody else. So that guy and the guy I was talking about last weekend, it's different. But Jet Lawrence knows, like I've watched him and he's made mistakes that, look, that was close. That was a lot closer. The problem with us and for most people at home, his riding looks so effortless and he's so patient in a lot of the stuff. He rides in the tall gear. He's so patient. He's standing up a lot, makes it look like he is not trying. And all my point was he is trying. And if he could go faster and be comfortable and pull away from those guys like he did this weekend, he would do that. He just doesn't want to because he knows by doing that, there ain't nobody here that's putting me up in that position to have to make that choice. And by doing that, I probably could fall. Like I probably could fall. So I'm going to back it down to a level that makes me comfortable. But it ain't easy, because if it was, I would just go faster so I can have a bigger lead. And then it's really easy. That's what was my whole point with him. But again, his riding style makes it look so hard to really tell. And you just like, damn, looks like, is he on the freight lap or is he like riding? And when somebody comes in and says, oh, no, dude's trying, it's just hard to be able to see that. I'm not going to say that you guys are like dumb or like it's attacking. It is hard to see. It is hard to see those nuances. But I also realize that Jet Lawrence is a kid, and Jet Lawrence would say if it was easy. And you could see it on his face. And when people ask him, Jet Lawrence don't say, hey, it is, you know, Jet Lawrence says, no, I'm comfortable doing it where I'm at. But if somebody else was here being faster, then would I could go 4 seconds faster? I don't know. If he said that, then this whole point is mute. I think if Eli Tomac, I'm not saying if Eli Tomac was here, Jet Lawrence would have got beat. Not saying that. Chase Sexton was here, Jet Lawrence still might win. But I think we would figure out, and we would, Jet would have to make that choice. It's whether he wanted to go faster and take those chances or be at a comfortable spot to where I'm trying, but I don't want to have to go to that next level. And again, his riding style, and when he does, when other guys start coming up, he is willing to take that chance to keep that gap. And so it makes it look like he's just riding around doing 210s because, whatever, I'm just ready to go to Waffle House. Because when those guys come closer, he goes to 209. And you're like, damn, dude, just playing. If I don't go faster, they're going to run up on me. That's going to be uncomfortable. But I'll just go to a 2.9 because I need that gap. And I'll just take that chance to do that, knowing that if I hit those 209s, those guys ain't going to go 208s. Those guys, that's it. Their max is 210. So I'll hit them, break them, and take the chance for a lap or two, get my gap back, and then go back to 210s because that's where I'm comfortable. I don't want to be at 209s because I can do it. But more likelihood, I might hit the ground. I don't like going that fast. So that was the point. Jet Lawrence is riding great. Jet Lawrence is doing everything he needs to do. And there is something to be said about that. But there's different levels. JS, I could ride. There was times that I still win the race, but that speed I was going was uncomfortable. And there was times I would run that speed at different track and I could do it for days. And the gap might be still the same. I still win the race. But how I felt and how it looked, those are what we're talking about. And Jet Lawrence rides so damn good, it's hard for most to figure out the difference. And that's what I was saying. There is a levels to it.
No, it's an awesome day here. Got an even better start that second moto. And then the track, I couldn't quite push as I go as fast as I wanted in the first moto. The track's a lot greasy, I felt like, especially when the rain started to come. So I was just kind of back to maintaining again.
We all felt like Jet was going to do what Jet does. And just like the 250 class, I felt like Justin Cooper, this track would favor him. Knowing Thunder Valley, when I saw that track, it was technical where Jet was good at Paula. It was a lot of that. And also Dylan Ferrandez, where he was struggling at. This track might not be that good for it. If you don't like no twitchy and all that stuff, well, this track probably ain't that pretty good. So you had to think with all that coming in, Jet Lawrence had a pretty damn good chance at winning. Aaron Plessinger, there's ruts. Like he was going to be the second best guy, which he was. But what we didn't expect coming into this race was that we was going to have some privateers come in there. Yeah, of course. Somebody goes down, two factory guys take each other out. Like they did the first moto. Yeah, of course they can get up there. You know, those guys are good too. You know, like they are good. If you look at the lap times, people, and that's what you got to look at. You look at practice lap times, look at them. Okay. Look at the race lap times. Let's see how close they are. Even your boy Jet Lawrence. They're pretty, pretty close, right? So the privateers in the race, the reason why after watching the second practice, I was like, they're going to be a part of this race. Not they're going to end up in a third place or they might battle just because something else was going to happen. No, I was like, no, they're going to battle and they're going to be a part of battling for outsider Jet Lawrence. There's going to be a privateer here competing with these guys. So it's going to make these guys have to ride. And everybody looked at me crazy. They were like, what are you talking about? Like, dude, yeah, Jay, like they could get a fifth if one of those guys go down. Nah, I'm saying they could get like a third, because they just beat them straight up and nothing happened. And they were close to doing that. And the reason I said that is because you remember when we were back in Supercross and it was at Nashville. And I was talking about Dragon's Back and some of the privateers. I was specifically talking about Justin Hill. And I was like, no, there were some races where guys went down and that he ended up in fifth. And then there was like a race like this one where, no, he actually was riding like fifth. I know Barsha went down. We had Cooper out that night, but he was comfortable. And the reason he was comfortable, because his bike was soft. His bike was soft. They ride at different levels. Kind of like what we said with Jet Lawrence. Like there's a comfortable level and there's an uncomfortable. Well, factory guys, their whole setup, the reason why they call them factories, because they get stuff that you can't buy at home. They have these tools that you can't buy at home. The reason they buy these tools is because they make it specifically for racing. That's why they call it racing on there. Like not like comfortable, like it's not like team factory comfortable. It's team factory racing. And they do that because there's these guys, myself and most of the factory guys, they push it at a level that most, you know, riders can't or not willing to do it. And by doing that, you have to have stiffer stuff. You got to have stuff that won't break. The reason why everybody doesn't just go buy a stock bike and race it is because it's going to break on a supercross track. You literally can't do it. You can't do it. Even the privateers, they got to have stuff that doesn't allow these motorcycles to break. Transmission, you got to change it. It is snap because you put the loads on it. They're not made to do that. And even the bikes have gotten a lot better. So maybe back when I rode, maybe the transmissions are better now, but we used to have to change them because they couldn't do it. Well, when you start changing and making those materials not to break, what does it do? You have to stiffen it, makes it uncomfortable. So if you listen to every rider, Ken Roczen, all these guys talk, they say they love riding stock bikes because it's comfortable. It is very comfortable. Well, what happens if you don't got a lot of money, a lot of resources like these factories? You have to get and take a comfortable bike and try to make it a little bit more uncomfortable. But overall, it's more comfortable than a factory racing stuff because they're going to put the stuff on that that they know ain't going to break and that they're going to give you materials that allow you to push it to whatever level that you want to push it. And you look at Dylan Ferrandis, the reason he ain't going to speed as Jet Lawrence, because he hasn't figured out that comfortability. Like, that bike looks comfortable, looks like it works, but it's twitchy. His, when you visually look at his bike, don't look that bad. Like, it looks pretty like plush and stuff, but what he's struggling at is in the deeper stuff and those, like, those twitches. Like, really the bike twitchy. He's uncomfortable doing that. But visually looking at it is like, I really can't see it. Well, that's what I mean by a factory level, even just the bolts they put on there. It just makes that bike more rigid compared to some of the stock bikes. But on the factory level, like, there's a difference between the speeds that they go compared to like normal people, even towards the privateers, even the guy in first is going a different pace, you know, like, so his stuff has to be different. And this weekend, the way this track was laid out and all those slow corners, just like Justin Hill in Nashville, their bike is softer because they run at a different pace. Their materials on their bike is different. And the reason why that's important, and I'll explain that in a second, is because it makes it plusher. Well, this weekend, they had a lot of slow corners. And if you looked how much time you could make up in those slow part of the sections from a lot of these privateers. So when I watched practice, I saw a guy pull away from Jet Lawrence the last lap of the practice, like a 9:02. You think I'm lying? Watch the video. Then you realize it's Jet Lawrence. In practice, I just saw how much feedback the factory guys were getting. I could tell that track was rough. When I would watch those guys, they're like, yeah. But then I would watch, you know, Ty Master pull Derek Drake. And yeah, they were moving, but they were moving forward, where the factory guys and their suspension, just because of just naturally the material, the setup and the speeds that they go, makes that thing stiffer. I could see the difference in those two. And I was watching Ty, especially him in practice, move around. He was able to cut out of corners. He was going where he wanted to go. AC came around in practice. After the big tabletop, he hits a bump, loses. He wants to go to inside, but he ends up on the outside because his bike's moving around. Going into the race, I knew that they couldn't change it like that. Like, before, people could just say, why don't you just soften it up? These guys are smart. All of them smart. The mechanics, they're smart. Why don't they just make it softer? If the privateers can do it, why can't they do it? Well, there's a lot more to that motorcycle than what you think. And the reason why they go factory is because they are able to put new material. They have different clamps with different materials. So to get where Ty Masterful bike is, it's not as simple as just soften the bike up like with clicks and just making it softer. It's a lot of different material on there, like the lugs on that thing, the steering stem on that bike, clamps, all that stuff. They boost it to make it stiffer. The reason they do that is because if you're going at a high speed, when things go wrong, that stuff saves you compared to when things go wrong on a stock bike. You end up waking up like night, like JS. So those guys, they went softer. They knew. I mean, you go soft every weekend, but for them to change that level to get where those guys were, it would be a massive change. And it's an uncomfortable change because now you're changing the way the bike rides, your ride height, now the feeling. You're just not going to do it. So it's not as simple as just soften it up. While watching practice, I just felt like those guys were going to compete. Todd Masterpool, his bike looked great. And if you look at the racetrack, all the slow corners, that's where they were making up their times. The high speed stuff, the factory bikes were better. Those long ones, like where a bike would bottom out completely, I saw Ty's shock shoot up through his booty because it bottomed out. Where the factory stuff, like, that's where you have these different materials and it's stiffer. So it was enough for those guys. It was enough soft corners, I mean, slow corners. And it was just awesome to watch in the race. That second moto, Ty was going near beast mode. There was one shot where they were watching like AP and all those dudes battling Dylan. And then Ty came in like, bam! Like, boy, like, get in my way. Like, he came devoring those cats. And it was cool. Like, I knew watching him, like, he probably was going to hit the ground because he was at his max. Like, he was. But the way his bike was and the way theirs, those guys are uncomfortable. They're like, man, I ain't going to do this. But at the same time, they're like, I can't. JS going to pull my factory card if I allow this. It was awesome to watch. But what you saw was, like, once he came past Cooper, Cooper fought for a minute. And then Ty came beast mode, like just Cooper Webb on that inside. Cooper like, damn, like, all right, he got me. And Dylan Ferrandez, like, he was pissed because, look, he got a good start and then he got tangled up with AP. Dylan never really saw the speed of those leaders. He never saw how fast Ty and all those guys were going because he was in the back of the pack. He was coming up. So that second moto, when he started getting up there and those guys were running at pace, Dylan was uncomfortable and it was uncomfortable around AC's pace for a while. He needed that time. But then you had Ty Masterpool and some of these other guys. And when he came up, Dylan was like, man, I'm uncomfortable. And maybe if it was like Cooper Webb, Aaron Plessinger, I would have just like dealt with it. But when Ty came, there's like, I mean, it's like, you know, your friend dating your ex. Like, I need a little bit of time to be okay with that. Like, I'm done with her. But at the same time, you like, bruh, come on, man. Like, you got to respect the limits, right? And that's what Dylan was. And in fact, the guys, they were like, bruh, I just broke up with her last weekend. And I don't care Tom, Dick, and Harry do it. But you my friend. Like, you can't do it. And you're like, well, why can't I? Like, why can't it? You don't want it. So I'm going to take it. Like, another man's garbage, another man's treasure. That's kind of how it was. Like, Ty was like, well, damn, because just because y'all factory don't mean I don't blown up on this podium. I want it. And Dylan's like, man, I don't want it that bad. I don't want to hit the ground. Ty was like, I died trying for this thing. So watching those guys ride the second moto, Ty came in there like, dude, I'm getting it. And Ty made a few mistakes and Dylan was like, no, I can't let it go. And he was making mistakes, but it was just funny to watch and it was awesome. And before anybody says anything about like these, the guys, factory guys, they should be fired, all that stuff. No, Ty and Derek Drake, they were riding good. Like they were riding good. And again, the bike setup, because they are talented and because they are good and it was just a perfect scenario that they were riding like we had a deep 450 feel. I believe that's what the feel would look like if all those guys were there. You would have different guys. Ty, instead of Ty, it'd be Jason Ferrandez. Yeah. How's Ziggy doing?
Ziggy.
Oh, Ziggy. How's she doing? Jason don't want none of that smoke. Jason don't want to come back. He's like, Ziggy told me to go to race him, but then I saw Ty out there. And, dude, I can't do that. Well, Ty came in there and brought the best out of all those guys. And that's what it would look like if Barsha was here, Jason was here. You would just have those guys, like, battling. Jet Lawrence still be doing what Jet Lawrence does. You know, maybe they'd be closer. Who knows? But at the end of the day, like, that's where it was. So back to the factory guys, they was not, like, they shouldn't be fired. Those guys rode great. Those guys rode great. To be honest, if Jason was here, Justin was here, they would be battling with those guys too because they were riding like they should be top five guys. And that's the difference. And I believe why it's like that is because the track, certain tracks favor certain riders. Just like last weekend, you put Justin Cooper and Hayden Deegan, you put them in the same spot, same circumstances. One guy will beat the other guy because of the track. Simply put, they're so damn close. Well, this weekend, the track was favoring a certain type of rider, a certain type of bike setup. And for whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, I just explained the reason, it was favoring more of a softer bike, initially softer. and there was not enough high speed sections around that racetrack that you needed the suspension that'll hold you up from dying. You didn't really need that. So if you watch the race, watch all the slow parts of the racetrack. That's where they catch him. That's where Ty was really good. And then as he kept going, he knew he was good. He started racing. And then you watch the fast parts of the track, all the factory guys, they would get away. And so it was just set up. But overall, they were all chasing that 18 dude. And I said on the show, the way that 18 dude has been riding like he's been good, and he's more dominant than hell I was, even Ricky was. Like, not saying like he riding more dominant, not saying he was going faster, but he's done something that I ain't do. Like, he's led every lap so far, like this year. I led every lap since like round four or something all the way to the end. But damn, I ain't start off the way he is. So when you put the definition of perfect, besides, he don't like to be roosted. That's what he said. And he haven't got every hole shot, which I didn't either. But he's led every lap, so he's perfect on perfect. So he can go 22-0 for all I care. It ain't 24-0. But Jet Lawrence been doing what Jet Lawrence does. And yes, this weekend, the way that dude rode, the way that dude came off the podium, it smells trouble for the rest of those guys. Because although Dylan to get better, although Jason Anderson to be back, although Tomac, I think he found his Achilles because we were in Denver, it doesn't matter because he's getting better as well. And he's growing confidence. So I saw the 250 Jet Lawrence on the podium. I saw the guy that was on 250 that like, look, man, I don't know why they even put these guys out here. They not even on my level. There's this and this, and then there's me. I believe he's starting to believe that. And if he believes that, then there's going to be lead. There's going to be a lot of trouble for those guys. But that's why we go racing. They have to figure it out next weekend. But what we saw this weekend, same thing he's been doing, just like his brother does. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan. Necks on fire.
Just getting neck on fire. It's Jet Stewart because he burnt. He just like what Tomac was. Him and his brother, like they Aboriginians. Aboriginians. What do you call it? Whatever. Whatever, people. My bad if I offended some of y'all. Like, he back. That brother getting burnt. He getting burnt. So Jet Lawrence, keep doing what you're doing. It's impressive. Hunter Lawrence, keep doing what you're doing. It's impressive. Ty Lawrence. See, he was riding like Jay. I actually said Jason Lawrence today. J-Law, what up? I know he's a fan of the show. He watches too. But look, I'm be saying so much Lawrence. Everybody's damn Lawrence at the end of the day. Anyways, they're at different levels. Justin Cooper can stop it. Joe Shimoda is riding good. Dangerous Boy, he's going to still do dangerous. But until then, it's going to be the Lawrence Boy. So congratulations, Hunter, Jet. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite times. Oakley, Stu to Stu. But before then, commercial break. What's up, guys? It's your boy, JS7. And y'all see my Bubba's House shirt? This is Bubba's House. Funny fact, I just went into Waffle House earlier today with the shirt on. They actually gave me a free waffle. Not really. Nothing's free in Florida. Nothing's free anywhere like them damn airlines. But they were looking at me like funny. So make sure you get your Bubba House shirt like I was rocking in the Waffle House today. You got June 13th to order those things. And after that, you might not be able to get it. So Bubba House. Your house, my house, Waffle House. Make sure you order a shirt June 13th.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open. As long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
What's up, guys? Your boy JS7, and we got some exciting news. If you haven't noticed, we can bet on Motocross Supercross. You guys want to get in on the action? I know these guys out here racing for a lot of money, but so can you. You can go to NXTBet/JS7 to get in on the action. You want to get out there and be banging with these dudes and have some action. Pick your winner, Jet Lawrence. I know he's pretty good. All these guys are pretty good. Well, take your chance just like each one of these riders every weekend. They go out there and possibly walk away with some money. And who knows? Maybe you'll end up on the show as a stew, or you tell your friends as a stew. There'll be more to come. nxtbets.com/JS7 have your chance to win and possibly walk away with some money. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Oakley, Stu, and Stu. Now, like we always do, like we always say, like I always say, we're going to go with the Stu. You know what that is. Person that just does it better than everybody else. That person that just makes things that look so damn hard, so easy. It's doable. It is doable. And we got a couple cats out there that's just stoolable. They do it in different ways. It's just stoolable. Some things that don't make sense, some words that don't make any sense, but it makes sense when you hear it. Why? Because it's stoolable. That's a Stu. And the first guy on this list, of course he's a Stu. He's had him. I think he might have been on this list like every time I've had this list this year, one of them has. The other one might not have been if he was racing. Mr. Hunter Lawrence. Reason I'm going to put you first, because we talked about 250 first. Reason I put you first, because damn, that's what you are. You're just first. You're first. You might not have the first fast lap time. You might not be the fastest in practice. You might not even pull damn whole shot. But you're going to cross that checker flag and get that money first. They're going to have your name first on the overalls. And that's what I consider a stupendous Stu. And Hunter Lawrence, you a Stu. You know why? Because damn, you just win. Now next is your brother. Jet Lawrence, you a Stu. I mean, I don't want to just end it because you deserve more than that, but that's really all I got to say. Like, you pull the whole shot. You say, hey, man, I focused on my starts this weekend. That second motor was nice, by the way. That was a jump out of, like, I knew you were going to win out of 5 feet. People talking about damn grades. You go into the first corner so fast. Yeah, you might be there faster because I'm whole shotting. But Jet Lawrence, you already knew you were going to win. I'm going to keep it short because you a Stu. You a tremendous Stu. You just win and you just lead every lap. Everything's perfect. So you a Stu. And that's the definition of Stu. So there's all my Stus. Justin Cooper, you a Stu. Of course, you went beast mode on those cats. And then, I don't know, everybody else. Ty Lawrence. See, I'm always saying Lawrence. So I call Ty Lawrence. The way he was riding this weekend, he might have been like the third sibling on there. Ty Masterpool, I'm going to give you a shout out because you came from nowhere. You shot up in there. And you a Stu because you had them boys. You see how like they ganged up afterwards? Like they were like, hey, man, I ain't doing that. They had factory meetings on that. It was like we came up with a riders union after Ty Masterpool came in. They're like, we can't allow this. Ty Masterpool, that was a stupendous performance. Congratulations. Keep it up, kid. You a Stu. All right, my next list. Stu. Pissed off. Pissed off because you're like, man, I got blasted by the other factory guy. We were supposed to be in there. Even though it was my fault, I went inside. I went outside. And I came back inside. And AP was there. Like, yeehaw, bam. And you were down. It just pissed you off. Pissed off because you're like, this 901, whoever, 902, 901020, like the old show. You out there racing guys that you didn't even know existed. You just pissed off. Are you Stu? No. We are confused, people. So no Stu. They were confused. They were too confused to be Stu. So that's my list. The Factory 450 guys. Y'all all confused. Hell, everybody was confused. They were like, damn, Jay, when I said it, they were like, is he tripping? Look, man, I don't know. Maybe we need to bring RC in this weekend. JS, like, he a little delusional or something. If he's thinking about this, these guys out there. By the way, RC will be back this week. What up? I kept that seat warm for you, boy. Let you get in there. It's all yours, baby. They were all confused when I said, nah, they're going to be battling. 450 guys. They were like, wait, 18? No, it's 81. Ty Masterpool, wait, he was like on 250. Wasn't that 250 guy that was on Start Racing, like winning Red Bull, like gone after he got injured and he fell, but he was like gone. That guy, he's in 450 now? Like, damn, like, okay, that tall, lanky, what's the kid's name? It's Jared Martin teammate. Help me, Cole. What's the kid's
March
name?
Banks.
March Banks. Yeah, like March Banks. Sound like a banker. I don't know. March Banks. Like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's confusing. I know. That's why this segment's the way it is, people. His March Banks. Like, they were like, damn, wasn't it 250 guys? Wait. And then Ty came in there like, yeah. Like, yeah. Ty went down in the first corner. And then Ty picked up his bike, dropped it, picked up. Just in his levers like Mr. Cooper was, checking all the signals, like everything was good. Dude, he came up through. He was basically RJing those fools. He was RJing. Yeah, you make a mistake. He thought like, all right, he done. Nah, he back. And it was like Dylan was like, who's this, man? Like, it's the French. I know my French people. I love y'all. You're booba. No disrespect, but Dylan was like, yo, what up? AC was like, yo, what up? Look, I know he's on a green motorcycle, but he ain't my teammate. Don't look at me. And then Cooper was like, ain't nobody Cooper Webb me. I'm Cooper Webb. Nobody does that. I'm the gritty one. That Ty came through there like, wham! Cooper's like, all right, man. Cool. Business decision. I'll see you next week. I'm focused on Jet Lawrence, not Ty Masterpool. You know what I mean? Cooper was like, damn. And AP was like, huh? AP came up that first moto like, yow, 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 yow. And the next thing you know, he was like, damn, who's this? Am I getting lapped? Who is this? I'm getting lapped. And Ty came past him. He was like, no. And that was before real stuff came in. And then he held him off. He kept him, guys. He was like, look, dude, rolling pretty good. Second moto, you saw AP. He saw Ty coming there. He was ganging up on him. AP said, like, hell with this. I'm riding. AP rode out. He didn't want nothing to do with Ty. So, look, 450 class, all the factory guys. Look, I'll say it for you. Dude was riding good. I know it's confusing to hell. It made y'all huddle up like y'all was in the NFL calling the play. Y'all was huddling, calling timeouts. Coach, challenge it. Do something. And Ty was on the, he was borderline, muddling line a little bit with those, you know, those, what, Serbies, whatever, the markers on the track. Ty was, you know, he was on this side, that. He was either factory, not factory, but overall, he had them boys confused. They ended the race after just getting smoked, and they weren't even worried about Jet. They were sitting there like, hey, man, what's up, man? Hey, because they were out of breath. You know, it was high altitude. They were like, hey, man, we can't allow this. Look, let's work together. We got to work together. Let's not even look. We need to come together. Look, all lives matter. We need to come together to stop this train from coming because we're going to lose our factory car. That dude almost whooped all of us on there. And Cooper Webb came there like, hey, man, it was good. I had a good performance. That was all because Ty. They were confused as hell. But again, dude rode pretty good. So, all right, people, that was my list. All the 450 class, y'all was confused except for all the people that wasn't confused. I know Wagon, JT, y'all thought I was crazy when I was saying the crazy stuff. And hell, maybe I am crazy for thinking the crazy stuff, but it made sense at the end. Ty Masterpool, again, congratulations. All the factory cars, y'all could keep it. Dude was riding really good. Seriously, riding good. Y'all stepped up. Y'all actually rode good. AC, you rode pretty good. And Dylan Franich, you had to do what you do because you're a champ. Jet Lawrence, you a stew. Hunter Lawrence, you a stew. Ty, you a stew. All right, people, that's it from round 20 up at Thunder Valley, round 3 of the Motocross Series, where we saw Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence do his thing. We saw Ty Masterpool confuse the hell out of everybody on there. And then we saw Hanging with Mr. Cooper finally show up like they're running the reruns of Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Maybe they can't, but we'll find out. Till then, I'll see y'all when I see you. I won't be there next weekend. I'll be hanging out with y'all in spirit. But y'all know what we got to do. We're going to watch it, enjoy it, and then I'll see you next Tuesday. Till then, hey, I need to get some more suspension cold. Yeah.